I thank you for your mercies. Indeed, you are perfect in love, in power, in purity. You're also perfect in mercy. And you have said that we should be merciful even as you are merciful. Lord, it's a task that can only be done by your mercy. As we go into your word this morning, I humble myself, Lord, under your mighty, and I duck under the covering of my spiritual parents, Pastor and Mommy, ask for fresh mercy and grace to minister today as an oracle of God. That, Lord, you will grant me utterance to open my mouth boldly to declare the mysteries of the gospel. Help me to be concise and precise as the word goes forth. Let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of Holy Spirit to do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life. Cause our wills to become more humble and minds to further enlighten with revelation knowledge of the word that goes forth. And our emotions, what are controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Help me, Lord, to be concise and precise, not to say things that are necessary. Thank you, Father, for that which you do in our midst. Holy Spirit, come and have it. I commit myself once again unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please keep playing that in the background. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the privilege to stand before God's people again. And I thank my parents once again for allowing me to share with God's people. We are going to continue our Bible study today. And we'll open to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. That's where we stopped and we'll do a brief recap. And I will read, starting from verses 5, read to verse 7. Paul was instructing his son, spiritual son, Timothy. And if you notice at the beginning of this chapter, chapter 3, he was talking about the prevalent conditions in the end time. And like we said, that he was actually talking about the things that will be happening in the church. That's why he was writing this to his son, Timothy. And as we look around us today, in the body of Christ, this is exactly what is happening. You know, he said, perilous times shall come. Amplified says, difficult times, troublous times, difficult to handle. And that's where we are now, even in the body of Christ. So I will read, starting from verse 5. Yeah, he began to describe certain people in the church, both Christians, that is the saints, and also the leadership. And he said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Verse 7. Ever learning, say ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So in our last lesson, we talked about the power of godliness. It takes God's power to be godly. That is God-likeness. And we said that, as Pastor has taught us, God-likeness means we are like God in nature, in character, in wisdom, and in ability. Every Christian, that everyone that is born again, is like God in nature. But many Christians, the majority of Christians, are not like God in character, in wisdom, and in ability. And it's in that order. But God wants us to be with him in all the four aspects. Are you all with me? So, and the best example that will to buttress this point is when the master himself was talking to the church in Sardis. He said that thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead. That is, you can be a Christian in name, but spiritually that person is beginning to atrophy. Although in Sardis he told them, except they repent. So we are not saying this to condemn anyone that's listening, but we are saying that you can be a Christian in name, but not in deed. So verse 6 now begins to describe the kind of people, the characteristics. The Bible says, by their fruit, you shall know them. And he says something. He said, these people, now he began to focus his emphasis. It's applicable to Christians too. But he now began to focus his emphasis on the leadership in the church in the end time. He now began to say, he said, they creep in. Say, they creep in. Say, they creep in. He said, we are like they which creep in. He said, for of this sort are they which what? Creep into houses. Say, creeping into houses. You use the word houses because in those days, we didn't have places of worship like this. They used to have churches in houses. So say, these people, this leadership, this set of people, say, they're creeping into what? Houses. That's these churches. And what do they do? They have one intention, is to lead captive. Say, lead captive. Silly women. And that word silly, like I explained last time, it means to be open to deception. You go and check the meaning. It means to be open to deception. So what these leaders do is they creep in. They sneak into the congregation. Are you following me? And they lead captive. Like I said the other time, they lead captive into what? Into spiritual immaturity. Are you all with me? Why can people, why are Christians led into spiritual immaturity? It says that Christians or women, like you said, or your plastic Christians, that are laden what? With sins, are led away with diverse lusts. That means that as Christians, if we do not learn to crucify the flesh, we'll be open to what? Deception. So when they creep into conviction, they're already in the body of Christ, both here in Nigeria and otherwise. You have kinds of things that people are preaching in this day. And that you lead people, not just with mentions men here, but in this end time, they are leading droves of Christians away. And they keep them into captivity to spiritual immaturity. We'll see as we continue. And like I said the other time, I quoted from Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, for you to know that it is Satan that is using these Christians as a portal to lead people captive. Because in the Garden of Eden, the same thing happened. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, that, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, he took up thereof the fruit, and did eat, and gave it unto husband, and he did eat also. What are we saying? In 2 Timothy we just read, he said that they lead silly women captive. That same spirit is serpent. You know, the serpent crawls on the floor. So they creep in, like he crept into the Garden of Eden. And he deceived Eve. Because why? With the same tactics, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So you see already that you cannot in any way, if you don't exercise the power of godliness and you allow the sin nature in the soul and in the body to dominate you, you'll be easily led astray with these people. They preach what the Bible calls another gospel. So Paul said, whose God is their belly? Let's open to Jude chapter 3. It's only one chapter. Jude 3 and 4. Jude verses 3 and 4. Please put it on the board so we can read. Jude 3, not Judges. Let's read together. Say, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you all should earnestly, say earnestly, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's not a physical contention. But say, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Next verse. For there are certain men crept in, that same word, in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, say ungodly men, turning what? The grace of our God into Lord lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they are not going to come and say they don't believe in Jesus Christ. But by true lasciviousness, a lack of self-control, by not keeping the body under. Are you following me? They have crept in. That's why you see people preach all kinds of heresies in the body of Christ today. But you see, what I want us to see is this. Paul put this particular verse in the end time. Are you all with me? So that is what they do. They lead God's people into spiritual captivity, into spiritual immaturity. Praise the Lord. And he began to talk about the symptoms of these people. I'll just read because I'm doing a brief recap. Say, the symptoms of being held in spiritual captivity and maturity or being controlled by the Spirit is what he now begins to mention in verse 7. He says, ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. They go from company to company, from deliverance to deliverance. They go everywhere, but they never come what to the knowledge of the truth. But you see, the root cause is this. Because they are held captive by the sin nature in their soul and body. They have refused to crucify the flesh. So that's ever learning and ever able to come to knowledge of the truth. Praise the Lord. So what is the knowledge of truth? We began to speak about this the last time. What is knowledge of truth? That word knowledge, like I said, is epignosis, which is the complete, say complete, exact, precise knowledge of the truth. What does that mean? That means that you know the what, the why, the how, and the how of the how, which is the instruction of wisdom of the truth. And we said that when talking about truth, truth is at two levels. We have truth in the written word, and then truth concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke of this in John chapter 14, verse 6. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. The Bible says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then the written word, in John chapter 17, verse 17, it says, sanctify them by their truth. Thy word is what? Truth. It takes the knowledge of the written word to attain unto knowledge of the living word. Very, very important. And in summary, I put in my notes, I say that We come to knowledge of the truth at two levels. Through an increase in the measure of the flow of the life of God into our souls and bodies, as we daily choose the fear of God and use the blood, word, and the spirit to daily crucify the flesh of his affections and lust. If you notice the earlier verses, when I was speaking about these people, he said they are held captive by diverse lusts, which means that if we don't learn to crucify the flesh, to flush out that sin nature, you are going to be led captive into spiritual immaturity, like seeing the Corinthian church. Speaks basically of carnality. But God's desire for us is for us to come to the knowledge of the truth, that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the word of God, the epignosis of the word of God. And it's very important for us to know that the vehicle that God used to take us from the knowledge of the word to knowledge of the living word is the very nature of God himself, the very life of God. John chapter 17 verse 3 says this. It says that, and this is what? Life eternal. That what? They might know thee. Let's say it together. And this is what? Life eternal. That they might what? Know thee. The only what? True God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. There is no way you can come to the knowledge of the truth, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to become like him in character, or the person of the God the Father himself, if you don't have the knowledge of eternal life. And that is why you see a lot of the leaders in the body of Christ, they have done us great harm in the body of Christ by despising the knowledge of eternal life. Because it's the knowledge of eternal life that gets you born again. That knowledge of eternal life, as it flows into your soul and your body, that will lead you to attaining unto the knowledge of the Son of God. The measure of life you have will determine how much you know God. Praise the Lord. It's very important with that. Say, the Bible says, I repeat again, says that this is life eternal. This is the consequence of eternal life. That they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Praise the Lord. And this is where we stopped the last time, and I'll pick it up. Coming to the knowledge of the truth. We know God or the truth at three levels. Number one, when we get born again. The Bible says that we are baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6 verse 3. Paul was talking, saying, know ye not that so many of us as we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death. So when everybody gets born again, we have the knowledge of God. But at the spiritual babyhood level, where we cry, Abba Father, our spirits are what get born again. Then we need to move up to Pentecost. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit and we now begin to speak in other tongues. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says that, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in another tongues as what the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. But we must not stop there. This is where most of the body of Christ today are camping. I follow me. Instead of moving on to know the Lord. And then the third experience that we must all come into in this third day is to have that experience that Paul was talking about, which I put it here. I say, when we experience the baptism of fire, which will refine and purify us, so that the residual sin nature in the soul and body is burnt out by the fire of the Holy Spirit, then we come forth as gold. You see, the third aspect of knowing God, you know, when you get born again, spirit, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that third aspect is what Paul saw, in which you now burn out the sin nature. You see, when we get born again, we have a sin nature in our spirit. No, sorry, in our soul. In our body, God removes totally from our spirit. But you see, from the day you get born again till the rapture occurs, or till the person dies and goes, you must be using the blood, the word, and the spirit to flush out the sin nature, is retrieved in your soul and in your body. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Says, therefore, having these promises, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. The spirit there talking about the soul. Perfecting holiness in what? In the fear of God. So that's what Paul saw. And that's what John the Baptist said. He said he will, notice in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, say, your God will come and will baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. It is that fire of intercession that you use in place of prayer when trials and tribulations come that burns out the sin nature in the soul and in the body. That makes you a total and a complete burnt offering. Where he said, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, let us present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is what? A reasonable stuff. That is what Paul saw. Paul had done many miracles. He started different churches. But that came to a time in his life. He began to say, we begin to read now the hidden things of the Spirit. No longer walking in craftiness, not handling God's word
deceitfully. And he now says something in the book of Philippians chapter 3, we read from verses 10 to 11, Amplified Bible. Philippians 3, we all know that scripture. He said, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, and I may progressively, so it's a progression, it's not something that happens in one day, that I may progressively become deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may also in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may also share in his suffering, that is self-denial, and to be continually be transformed in spirit into his likeness, even in his death, in the hope that if possible I may attain on the spiritual and moral resurrection that leads me out of this body, leads me out of from among the dead while in this body. That is, Paul saw something that was more important than Passover and Pentecost. He said that I may know him. This is somebody that had raised the dead. This is somebody that had done too many miracles. Said they took aprons from his body to go and pray for the sick, and they were healed. The devil recognized Paul. He said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. He said, but who are you? But this man now comes to bring himself and said, there is a higher experience. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Praise the Lord. So this is what we are talking about in the body of Christ. And this is the problem we have now. You see, I relate to what we read earlier in the Bible. And what does this mean that we should know him and experience that same resurrection life in our souls and our bodies? What it means is this. You must come to that place that you are free from the nature of sin in the soul and body and the acts of sin. Because our destiny as Christians is to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that it's this, and for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. Now let's look at Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says that he was tempted in every way like as we were, yet without sin. That is where we are going to, folks. That is where God has called us. That is our purpose. That is our destiny. You can also see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. That the Lord God may sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body, you know, and keep you blameless to the returning of Lord Jesus Christ. So for us, let's open to John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. Thank you, Holy Spirit. John chapter 8, verses 31, we read 32. Let's read. Then he was talking to the Jews at that time. He said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, just like every born-again Christian believes on Jesus Christ. If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Next verse. And you shall know the truth. We are talking about truth today. And you shall what? Know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Next verse. Next verse. Say, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How seest thou ye shall be made free? That is, they were thinking naturally. Next verse. And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is what? The servant of sin. So we see here that the freedom the Lord was talking about is our freedom from sin, both in the spirit, in our souls, and in our bodies. Next verse. And the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever. Next verse. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. How are we free indeed? When the eternal life occupies our spirits, our souls, and our bodies. It's a process. We can't arrive there in one day. But we have to start from somewhere. Get born again. Baptize the Holy Spirit. We now use that initial evidence of speaking in tongues. That deposit. The main function of that deposit that Pastor has taught us is to perfect the love of God. Is to flush out the sin nature from our souls and our bodies. So we can be like Christ. Praise the Lord. So people now began to talk about a certain set of people again. These same people now began to relate the experience that we're going to see in the end time to what happened when the children of Israel were in Egypt. Let's open to verse 8 as we read. It's very important. What does it say? It says, now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do this also resist the truth. Now, you know the truth we are talking about. We're not talking about the truth of getting born again. Everybody's born again. Nobody argues about being born again in the body of Christ. Even not about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Most people are baptized with the Holy Spirit. But it's not talking about the knowledge of the truth. That's which Paul is talking about. That is becoming like him. So he said there are some men. He now began to relate the story of what happened in Egypt to what is happening in the body of Christ today. Are you all with me? He now began to say, he says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist what? The truth. Not the truth of being born again. No. Are you following me? Not the truth of you being baptized. They are receiving the truth of us going into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Are you all with me? So he said, they said this also, they resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But, verse 9. But they shall proceed no further. That means they proceeded for some time. He said, but they shall proceed no further. For their what? Folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. Who are theirs also was? I'm sorry. It was Jannes and Jambres. That is, when God sent, God gave Moses a commission to go and set his people free. And they went to Pharaoh, and they said, thus said the Lord of Hebrews, let my people go. You see, Egypt represents the house of bondage. They were in bondage. And God wanted to set his people free. So he sent Moses to them. I follow him. So when he got there, he went to Pharaoh, and he said, God said, let my people go. So Pharaoh said, who is that your God? He said, you should show him a sign. Then the first thing Moses did, he threw his rod down. He said, Aaron should throw his rod. So Aaron threw the rod down. Then he called his magicians. They threw down their rods. And then Moses' rod, or Aaron's rod, swallowed up both rods. So that continued for some time. But what I want us to see is this. It's relating that experience of Jannes and Jambres to what will happen in the body of Christ in the end time. Albeit, no longer, when you get born again, you're no longer under the bondage to sin, so to speak. You are born, you come out of Egypt. But what is now happening is these same people, through passive witchcraft, are opposing the Moses of our end time, of his end time. I found the apostles and prophets. I found stopping, or they don't want God's people to be set free from captivity to spiritual maturity. Are you all with me? If you notice in the other, he said that ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He said this, but they come in, they creep in secretly, and they lead captive. Captivity to what? Captivity to spiritual immaturity. In those days, it was captivity to in Egypt. But they've come out. But now that the people have come out, instead of going onto the promised land through Moses, in this present day, I follow me, these leaders that are so-called in the body of Christ, so-called apostles and prophets, they are keeping God's people into captivity. They don't want them to grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the same thing is replaying itself today in this end time in the body of Christ. Now notice, the knowledge of coming to the experience of knowledge of the truth is slated for this end time. That's why I say in the last days, this will happen. And I said that ever learning, never able to come. If they could not come to that full knowledge, epignosis, complete knowledge of becoming like Christ in the ages gone by. So Satan has raised up a crop of leaders in the body of Christ that are opposing Moses, a type of true apostolic and prophetic fathers that God has sent, and they are saying, let my people go. Are you all with me? That's why Pastor calls them the religious pharaohs. They are keeping God's people captive. Let me just read some things that I put down here. I said that Paul began to speak about these pharaohs. And what happened was this. How did they withstand Moses? The Bible says they called the sorcerers. And they began to use the enchantments. Are you following me? And they took everything that Moses did, they did. Up to the third plague. Are you all with me? The same is happening today. In the body of Christ, you see, if you come now and tell people that perfection is possible, and you do something, they will try and double do it again. So it's not clear to people. I follow me. So they kept doing that. I follow me. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, let me put a scripture behind this. God told, what they told Moses was this. I said, and afterward, Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 said, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. That what? Let's go. That they may what? Hold the feast. Say, hold the feast unto me in the wilderness. Say, hold the feast unto me in the wilderness. What feast does God want us to hold in this day? Tabernacles. You see, they in that context, I believe we're supposed to have come out of Egypt before Passover. But because of Pharaoh's opposition, I following me, they had to celebrate Passover in Egypt. So God tell him, said, look, let them go, because God is working on a timetable. So let them go so they can go and celebrate the feast of me in the wilderness. And we all know when they went to Mount Sinai, which represents Pentecost. So what feast is God telling us to go and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Moseses of our time are telling the religious pharaohs, let my people go. Release them from spiritual captivity to immaturity. And they have refused. And Paul said, their foolishness shall be made manifest, as theirs also was. That is what God is about to do. Something is about to happen in the body of Christ that the ears of men will tingle. Not because God wants to do it, but because God is working on a time schedule of his program. Like Pastor shared about 2 Sundays ago, or was this last Sunday, about the bride of Christ. Praise the Lord. And let me just see by my notes. So they received the truth of perfection. He now began to describe them. He said, men of corrupt minds. Say, men of corrupt minds. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. Men of corrupt minds. He says that, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but of sincerity, but and also of but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17 also. These people, they corrupt God's word. They handle it deceitfully. They twist the grace of God. I follow me. They omit the greater matters of the law. They come and tell that Christ has done everything. You don't need to suffer again. That is self-denial. So through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they lure men to captivity. You know, I think it was Peter that said, you know, it's like a pig goes back to wallow in his vomit. Praise the Lord. So he says they are of a reprobate mind. That's a very strong word. A reprobate mind is a mind that is void of judgment, that cannot discern the truth again. Are you all with me? Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 30 says, reprobate silver shall men call them, because why? The Lord has rejected them. See, there is a set of leaders in the body of Christ that have been rejected, even though they are still seemingly functioning. Why? Because they have left purpose and destiny. Perhaps they have been rejected. Why? Because, you see, they are hindering and standing against God's purposes for the church. Praise the Lord. And like verse 9 that I read, he said that, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as God's glory is made manifest in the perfect church. You see, when Moses started with the miracles that God said he should do, drop down the rod, turn the water into blood, you know, plague of frogs, those Jannes and Jambres, they came to, they duplicated the same miracle. So like, so what is the difference between you and them? But do you know why that is going on? It's because, looking onto it in present day context, it was because at that time, so to speak, Moses was operating with the spirit with measure. So they were able to duplicate it. But when they got to a stage, they said, no, no, no. They told Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Why? When God stepped up the power, that is where we are entering into now in the body of Christ. You see, thus far now, everybody is saying, I'm the one that has the word of God. And this is the king. Our destiny is this. I won't give anybody examples. They are turning the word of God. Some people even begin to preach heresy in the body of Christ. And you are wondering. And it's as if God is quiet. So initially, what happened was this. Everything Moses did, they too, they did it. The first plague, the turning of rod to snake, they did it. The second one of turning water to blood, they did it. Then of plague of frogs, they did it. When it got to the plague of lies, they could not. They used their enchantments, but it didn't work. You see, in the body of Christ, the pastor talked about Saul, the spirit of Saul. It is Bible says that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. There are leaders in the body of Christ that have already rebelled against the voice of God. That's why God removed Saul and said, put David in power. He said, I found a man, David, a man after my heart, who will do all of my will. So when you refuse to do all of the will of God, Bible calls this rebellion. He said this as a sin of witchcraft. You see, it's not that they don't begin by practicing active witchcraft. No, it's passive witchcraft, by preaching messages that center around covetousness. So they begin to get what God has not given them. So that God steps back. Bible says that he gave them the desires of the heart, and he sent what? Leanness to their soul. So their spirits act as a potter for Satan to operate through. So they begin to do miracles and things that counterfeit, really. And the body of Christ, generally speaking, are confused. So people call those that they call people that are up there, say, this is our fathers. So the same condition, like Paul is talking about, is prevalent in the body of Christ today. He said, men of reprobate minds, void of judgment. said, but their folly shall be made manifest. Now, how was their folly made manifest? One, when they got to the fourth plague or so, the third plague, they could not duplicate it again. Like I said, the measure of the Spirit of God upon Moses had increased. So they couldn't duplicate it again. We have come to that time. That things are going to begin to happen in the body of Christ. I said, no. We don't begin to separate. They can't do it. It got so bad. If Exodus chapter 9, verse 11. During the plague of boils, God gave this Janice and Jambres a 9-11 experience. You know what happened? When the plague broke out of boils, due to their hard boils, Abba said he could not stand before Pharaoh, before Moses. Let's read. That's what we're getting to. Are you all with me? He said, Exodus chapter 9, verse 11. And the magicians could not stand before Moses. He didn't say before Pharaoh. Neither did he say before God. Because God had told Moses that I will make you a God unto Pharaoh. But I say you are gods and you are the children of Moses. So it came to a plague that this began to the plague of boils broke all over them. So they couldn't start before Moses again. What did God tell Joshua? He said, there shall no man be able to stand before you all days of your life. So I will begin to magnify you. Why did God say that? He said, because you are going over the land to rightly divide the land for an inheritance of these people. There's coming a time that these folks will not be able to stand before Moses again. What does this say? Scripture just comes to my head again. Book of Revelations. It's the day of the snake of Satan. They will come and what? Bow down before you. Hide and watch what is going to do. Are you all with me? In Exodus chapter 8, verse 22. Before that time, the same plague was affecting the Egyptians and the Israelites in Goshen. Why? Because the spirit they were operating was on at that time was his measure. But there came a time, God said, today I will sever between Egypt and Goshen. Now, Egypt in that context, but in relationship to what Paul is talking about, he's talking about the body of Christ. Because he's relating Janice and Jambres to what is happening in the body of Christ, or will be happening in the end time. Are you all with me? So God comes, he says, God severs the land of Goshen, and he puts a division between them. That is, there is coming a time, and now is, that there will be a distinct separation between the wheat and the chaff, between the Babylon church and the Zion church. It's not all the things, same things that have happened to them, it's happening to us. But we have come to that time that God is going to separate. Are you all with me? We have come to that time. And you see, let me see if I can put this. Let's just read to have a scripture behind it. Exodus chapter 8, verses 22 to 23. Okay, it's there. It said, and I will sever in that day, which is the day we are in, the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell. That's the type of Zion. That no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Next verse. And I will put what? A division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. What are we talking about, folks? Always remember, based on what Paul said, he was talking about what conditions prevalent in the church. He was using this experience to tell us what will be happening in the body of Christ in the end time. So there are Genesis and Jambreses in the body of Christ. You see, they are going to break out with balls. No, not necessarily physically. And they will not be able to stand before Moses because of shame. Revelation says that they are going to come and worship at your feet. Surely, they will say, God is in thee. That is what. And then he now came to the issue of Goshen. And what does that, what type does that speak of? Let's open to Isaiah chapter 4, verses 5 to 6. Then it was Goshen. Now it is Zion. What does it say? And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon our assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, and upon all the glory like it was in Goshen shall be what? A defense. And there shall be what? A tabernacle for a shadow in the day time, from the heat and from a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and the rain. The same problem in the world has been affecting most people. Are you following me? They have COVID. You too, you have COVID. They kidnap them, so they kidnap you too. They will kidnap us in Jesus' name. But there came a time, and I said, what is the difference? The difference is because the measure of the power that was coming out through Moses was stronger. We are talking about the spirit without measure. So they could, first of all, they could not duplicate it. Then God now, after he stepped out the power, he said, I'm going to make a separation today. When I make that separation, everybody will know. It's no more Goshen. I've already read, it's going to be talking about Zion. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Not because I did that, bad things will happen to people. But let me put it in my, as I wrote, as God was talking to me this morning. God will ultimately remove religious pharaohs who resist the truth about God's purpose for his church in this end time, in order to set his people free. You see, we are not because I don't hate anybody. Neither is anybody immune from God's judgment. God does not have, you know, favorite soul to speak. If you do the same, he said that if you love me, keep my commandments. But you see, God is going to, I said, except they likewise repent. That is the message of the day. As he was speaking in Revelations, he will tell them their problems. Okay, repent. So if you repent, so these leaders in the body of Christ, my advice under covenant is that they repent. Because if they don't repent, God will remove them. Why? So that he can set his people free. He will set his people free. See, they are doing the things. They are speaking libelously against those that God has raised up. Condemn groanings. See, there is no importance about they say, this is the heresy, the life of God. As you've seen now, Bible says, and say, this is life eternal, that you may know him. So if you don't have sufficient, you can't know him. And let God wants you to know him. So God's plan under bondage to spiritual immaturity by these people. So God will remove them, except the what? They repent. So that's why if you see the judgments that came in Egypt, it was progressive. It kept on increasing. But the God now said, this night will I go through the host of Egyptians. We are there already. God kept increasing it. But the Bible says that because judgment against an evil work is not speedily executed, the heart of man is fully set. So their heart is set. It doesn't matter. Some even tempt God. I want to say they are set up. We have come to that part that God is going to remove them except they repent. So God is that. But say the goodness of God leaded men to repentance. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ goes to the cross, dies. He paid the price. The price he paid for is not for you to get born again alone. Not the baptism of the Spirit alone. But to be like him. Are you all with me? Can you imagine? You go to a place and maybe you want to buy a car. And you pay the exact amount for the car. Even you give extra. And then when they now deliver the car, I follow him. They now brought a fairly used car. Are you going to accept it? So why do you want God to accept it? It's only when you don't know you are paid for. It cost him 3 days in hell. His own creation. The demons, they beat him. They slapped him. He didn't talk. That's why Paul said, I'm a debtor. We are debtors. Oh. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We are debtors. Especially in this end time. But to whom much is given, much is required. God is waiting for that bride. See, there can be no rapture until the bride of Christ emerges. Go and sit down. The earlier we get down to business, the better for us. Let's stop playing games, church. The earlier, the better. Stop looking to the sky. Start looking within. Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. Praise the Lord. So, let me read. I've already mentioned the aspect that they could not duplicate the miracles. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. That is where we are. There is a Passover that's about to occur. I don't know when. But as we surely know that Jesus Christ fulfilled Passover exactly during the month of Passover. When it came to Pentecost, 50 days after, they fulfilled Pentecost exactly during the day of Pentecost. So also, the Bible says in the month of two, we now have the three. Tabernacles shall be fulfilled in the exact month of the Feast of Tabernacles as a Feast of Fruits. Are you all with me? So what does it say? It says, for I will, say, let's go, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Say this night. He's not really talking about this night. But night speaks of darkness. I said, gross darkness shall cover the earth. Yea, darkness the people. Are you all with me? He says that I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt. Are you following me? Now, what does that mean to us? Some of you are saying that is Egypt. God cannot do it. Hide and watch. He told them in Egypt, Israel. He said, you did not know the day of your visitation. Like Pastor said, Titus came around, sacked the whole place. The Bible says that Jesus Christ said, whatever it says, it means, he said, there will be no stone left upon the other. Can I see a temple that is bigger than this place? And I said, that we won't find two stones glued together. Is that possible? But it happened. You know why? All the stones were covered with gold. So the guy had to remove and melt them to take the gold. So the prophecy came accurately to pass. No stone was left upon the other. God means what he says. If he says that we have a perfect church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing, he will have it before this age closes. So he's not talking about Egypt. Amos chapter 5, verse 17 to 8. Are you all there? Amos chapter 5, verse 17. Then he passed through Egypt, but now he's passing through his vineyard. Have you put it there? What does he say? And in all, say all, the vineyard speaks about the body of Christ. With no exception, there's no place to hide. Shall we be wearing, for we pass through this, said the Lord. They now began to talk about the season in which he will pass through. Next verse. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Because it is a great and terrible day of the Lord. God doesn't want us to be afraid. But you see, we cannot continue. If we continue like this, we cannot close this age. And what will happen is this. Satan is already trying to push something into motion. Trying to kick these people, this current ongoing war. Looking to the Bible says he wants to delay it. Zaporizhzhia. Folks, if there's anything I'd like to advise us, please, brethren, join Good Morning Jesus. So that you can be part of, Bible says that he will bring forth what? Saviors out of Mount Zion. So you can be part of what God is doing. There was a time that God raised up an intercessor to bring back the Berlin Wall. He's raised up a set of people again. We are not saying we are the only ones. But you see, God gathers those prayers to try and stop what Satan wants to do. He wants to create a nuclear conflagration. But he has failed. Because there is a company of people that God has raised up that understand purpose and destiny. Those that are under the Moses of our end time. The true apostolic and prophetic fathers. Bible said the sons of Issachar. They knew the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. You lose a war if you don't know what to do. Start fighting a wrong battle. What it says, and in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through this, said the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Unbelievers don't desire the day of the Lord. It's Christians that desire the day of the Lord. He said, it's the day of darkness. There's no hiding place. If you read the next verse, he says, as if a man flee from a lion and a bear met him. And he flee from a bear. And he went to his house. And the serpent beat him. That is that same nature that you don't deal with in your soul and your body is going to end up biting you. It won't bite us in Jesus' name. So it's going to pass through the land. Zechariah chapter 11 verses 8 to 3. Say, three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month. For my soul looted them and their soul also abhorred me. Zechariah chapter 13 verse 9. Say, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow. Say the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd. And what? The sheep will be what? Scattered. I will turn my hand upon the one. You see, we can't be emotional. I'm preaching with a passion. Not because I desire any bad thing to happen to anybody. No. God sees my heart. But you see, when God says, attention, yes, sir. You align. You see, to do something contrary is to be rebellious. To preach another message is rebellion. To preach something else is rebellion. Because everything you preach can either delay or hasten. That is why if you go and read the book of Esther, when the Haggai, a type of the spirit, when he gave Esther a thing of purification, go and read, he said he gave it to her speedily. There's no time to waste. starting verse 9, verse 8. And it shall come to pass, and all the land, saith the Lord of hosts, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third shall be left. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and I shall say, the Lord is my God. That speaks about the bride coming, the bridegroom. That's what Pastor preached last week. That's what he preached last week. The company of a church within the church. Say, show the house to the house. A bride without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. If he does not see that, he's not going to come. Praise the Lord. I would like us to end on a good note so we're not afraid. You see, like Pastor said, what is the perfect church? It consists of a perfect leadership operating in cleansing perfection with a fully, say fully submitted. Say fully submitted. Not partially submitted. Fully submitted followership. They are not perfect. Me that I'm preaching, I'm not perfect. At times when I want to come and preach, I'll be crying. I say, God, why me? For God's sake. That is the grace and the mercy of God. Look at yourself. Why me? Of all people to be called to hear. But the things that the angels, they decide to look into. The prophets of old. The Bible says that, and he said that, the Bible says that, just I said, Abraham saw my day. He saw this thing afar off. He saw this bride company of which you are a privilege to be part of. I said, he rejoiced. So when he offered up Isaac, before he could offer, he saw that thing. All of them are standing in the balcony of heaven. And they're watching your eye. What you do with the blood, the word, and the spirit. We are going to make it in Jesus' name. So, we are not perfect. I'm not perfect yet. But see, God is raised up and is raising up. A perfect leadership. And we see that type in Lord Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles and the 70. I told you the other day, he called them babes. But they carry the same glue, the same anointing. You see, I said the other day, the way you carry the anointing is your heart relationship to those God has sent authority over you. Bible says, when he was closing Ephesians chapter 5, I think verse 33, he said he was talking about husband, love your wives. He now said, husband, love your wives. He now said something, see, please put it there. He said, see, let the wives reverence her husband. See, that means make sure. Because if you don't reverence those in authority over you, the anointing upon them won't come down in the measure that is supposed to come. Then you now be the set of people that says, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But let me close, because my time is gone. Praise the Lord. Let me end. Let's close in with verse 10. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. What does it say? Amplifying, but we don't amplify the Bible. So Paul, from this last scripture, I will stop here. I picked up next time by the grace of God. He now begins to, after telling us what will happen, which is what is ongoing now. He now says something. Say now, talking about Timothy. Say now. Read this word. Now, you are closely what? Observed and what? Diligently followed my teaching. Say my teaching. My conduct. Purpose in life. Faith. Patience. Love. And steadfast. That is our way of escape. Follow me as I follow Christ. He said in Philippians, said, the things I have heard, learned, and seen in me, do. That is how you are going to escape the corruption that is the world through loss. So God will add to what you are not doing and preserve you from the hour of temptation that has come to try them that dwell upon the earth. Let's bow down to pray. Let's talk to God. Let's ask for mercy. It's not to condemn anyone. But we need to know where we are in the body of Christ. What is the Bible says, the Holy Spirit will come and show you things to come. So it's the message of food. As I said, if people repent, God will grab them in. But if they don't repent, then he will cut them off. Why? Because he can now allow them to keep God's people into captivity. For therefore, brethren, it says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, stand up as we pray. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father of lights,
Father of life, draw me closer.
Lord, my eyes,
Lord, my heart. run the race of time with your life unfolding in mind, and let the peace of God let it rain.
Holy Spirit, you're my comfort.
Drop the word in my heart. But some people are saying, can God do that? There's a scripture I first of all quote. It says, the heat that been often reproved and hardened his neck shall what? Suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now the question is this: did God want to destroy the firstborn of Pharaoh? Answer my question. But because they refused. So what we are doing is that we are throwing out a lifeline. That's what good money Jesus does to everybody. This scripture that God just dropped, now I will read it. It says in the book of Hosea chapter 8 verse 12. Let's read on verse 11. Talking about Ephraim. Say, Ephraim is joined to our high dolls. Let him alone. I'll read. Because Ephraim had made many altars to sin. Altars shall be unto him to sin. Now verse 12. This is what concerns us. I have written to him the great things in my law, the law of the spirit of life, Christ Jesus, and they were counted as a strange thing. Pray one hour every day. Strange doctrine. Draw life. Strange. Groan. Strange. Yes. When they did that, verse 13 kicked into place. Said they sacrificed flesh for the sacrifices of my offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepted them not. Now will you remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. They will backslide. For Israel had forgotten his maker and built temples, branches all over the place. And Judah has multiplied fenced cities. But I will send what? A fire upon his cities and shall devour the palaces thereof. Let's lift up our hands to God and put on our hearts. Let's ask God for mercy. For it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but to whom God showed mercy. God's like to tell us, being Scripture Pastoral Center, we are privileged. We are privileged to be here. We are privileged. I'm not flattering the pastor, but we are privileged. We are very privileged. I will hold accountable for what we do with the things that have been given us. Too much is given, much is required. We are privileged, folks. That is why the Satan is fighting against them. Persecution and affliction ariseth for the world's sake. Let us pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please have mercy on us. So we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure. As we pray now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of that which you are about to do, even in your church in this end time. Thank you, Father, because I know that you desire that I shake off carnality and come to the experience of the knowledge of the truth. Wherefore, I ask for fresh mercy and grace to enable me to daily diligently use the blood, the word, and the spirit. Crucify the sin nature in my flesh, and with an attitude of reverence to God and to those in authority, following them after, that I may come into the experience of the knowledge of the Son of God, being conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your mercies. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for love and help. In Jesus, let's start praying in tongues. Rabba sun tara masara bakura basara bakuto frede. Rabba sun tara masara bakura basan tara. Rabba surya. Rabba sukura masan tara ba. Rabba Father, we thank you for mercy. Lord, Lord, just thank you for grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for love and help. Rabba sun tara masara bakura basan tara bakura bakuto frede. Rabba sukura bakuto frede. In Jesus' name, if you are in need of healing, just as much as you can, touch the place and just reach out your hand. If you are watching at home, you can reach out your hand just as a point of contact, just and touch your device and let your spirit. Father, I thank you for your word that has gone forth. The Bible says that you sent your word and you healed them and you delivered them for their destruction. The Bible says that you confirm your word with signs following, and that you confirm this word has gone forth this day under covering with healings, with miracles, Lord God, causing your people to be set free, that indeed they might begin to receive your mercy and grace and to run with this set vision. Thank you, Father, we come against every spirit of depression, of agitation, worry, infirmity. We cast you out. We destroy your works. We see them. We bind you. We command you, set them free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.